It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Last November, Joni Ernst of Red Oak, Iowa, became the first female elected to represent Iowa in Congress in history. In this first half hour, U.S. Senator Joni Ernst joins us live from Washington to discuss her priorities, topics in the news, and to answer as many questions, and we did get a lot of them, from you, our listeners. Senator Ernst, welcome, and thank you so much for agreeing to come on our program.
No, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me today.
We only have 20 minutes, so I'd like to ask you, if I could, to be as brief as possible with the answers so we can get to as many topics, issues as possible, and to as many listener questions as possible. Let me start off with this. You campaigned on the theme, Make 'em Squeal. It's been just over 100 days in office. Not much time, I realize that. What sort of start have you made in making that come true in practice? What does it mean in practice?
Well, in practice, just really focusing on our out-of-control spending and working diligently to control bloated spending, fix the long-term drivers of our debt problem, and just really working on a number of different reforms that will put our nation back on track. And that starts really with a balanced budget, and that's what we're focusing right at this current time.
Name an accomplishment or two that you're most proud of here in the first few days of office.
Well, again, I would have to say one of the greatest pieces of legislation has been the balanced budget, really working through that process. And hopefully here in the next few days, we'll be able to step forward, take a look at that budget. We are hoping that it will balance in about 10 years. So it's a great step forward. We have not had a budget in 7-8 years now. So great accomplishment there. I've worked on a number of pieces of legislation that really do focus on veterans and our national defense. So one in particular, my first bill introduced into the United States Senate was prioritizing access to veterans' mental health care. It's gaining a lot of support, and I'm very proud of that piece of legislation.
And we've covered it on this program. The status of it?
Yes, the status of it. Continue to work with the folks on the Veterans Affairs Committee. We are gaining co-sponsors, and we would love to see them take that up shortly and love to see it get through, go to the House, and be passed.
Okay. Let's go to some topics in the news I'd love to have you comment on, Senator Ernst. On Sunday, Texas police shot dead two gunmen who opened fire outside a Draw Muhammad contest organized in the town of Garland. The contest offered a $10,000 prize for cartoons of the Islamic prophet. These are depictions that are considered blasphemous by many Muslims around the world. We just heard in our news the Islamic State terror group ISIS issued a claim of responsibility for this attack. You are a member of both the Armed Services and Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committees. Give us your reaction, as this is the first such attack on U.S. soil by ISIS.
Well, the first issue is ISIS, exactly that. They are spreading overseas, and now we see this attack on our own homeland. And like it or not, we need to step it up. We need to engage more of our partners in the Middle East, those that will push back on them and be effective. You know, our administration has said many times over that we need to degrade and destroy ISIS. Well, we as a country are not moving forward with that. We need to engage other partners in that region that will do this for us, and we need to enable them any way that we can. This attack on our homeland, it just shows that we have not been effectively engaging overseas, and our partners have not been effective in that.
Are you raising the possibility of U.S. troops engaging ISIS more than they have been?
I am not raising that as of yet. Now, if it starts to escalate and we see more of those attacks on our own homeland, it is a very hard discussion that we will have to have. We do have a number of American men and women in the military that are serving in the Middle East. They are serving in capacities as advisors, as trainers to the Iraqi army. They are working with the Kurds in Iraqi Kurdistan. So they work with the folks in Afghanistan. So we do have an American presence overseas. Whether we want to go back to more of a combat role is yet to be seen. Now, we do run airstrikes. That's great. But we will have to have those hard discussions if other members in the Middle East are unwilling to assist or to engage.
On the, back to the shooting in Texas, the organizer of it, Pamela Geller, says we should be holding these meetings every month, this Draw Muhammad contest, to raise awareness, she says, about the jihad threat and the encroachment on freedom of speech. Do you think that's an effective way to confront radical Islam and stand up for freedom of speech, or do you think it's an unnecessary provocation?
I think that if an organizer wants to do an event like that, absolutely, they have the right to do that. We all have First Amendment rights, and we should exercise those rights. You know, is it something that I would likely engage in? You know, maybe not. But they have the right to do that. And if that's what they want to do, they should be able to do that without the thought or, you know, possibility of repercussion in such a horrible manner. Just because they're maybe incendiary to a certain group does not give another group the right to come in and shoot at innocent people.
Of course. And so just to be clear, you would defend anybody's right, any American's right, to depict a cartoon of, say, Jesus in any conceivable way?
Certainly. And would I like that? No, of course I wouldn't as a Christian. But it is their right to do so.
Okay.
And as a member of the military, I defend those rights. I defend those rights. I may not like that somebody would do that, but that is their right as an American citizen.
U.S. Senator Joni Ernst joining us for the first half hour of River to River today. Also in the news, please give us briefly your thoughts on the unrest in Baltimore and the indictment we heard on Friday of six police officers at the end of the week. Do you more specifically see what happened, Senator, in Baltimore as any sort of turning point in recognizing a pattern of behavior by some police across the country that needs to be addressed and corrected?
Well, I don't know that I am going to go as far as saying I'm recognizing a pattern of behavior, because I do think that these are issues that need to be addressed by local departments and local authorities. If there is some misdoing, that needs to be corrected. And it doesn't matter what race, gender, that a person is. Again, everybody needs to be treated appropriately. And if these measures that the police officers took were not in the standard operating procedures, if they were not the appropriate level of containment that was necessary for this gentleman, then they need to be dealt with accordingly. But again, I don't want to speculate on the legal proceedings. I think there's a lot that yet needs to be discovered. That will all come out, and I'm anxious to see those results. We don't want ever to see the death of someone, whether it's an accident or otherwise. I think that appropriate measures need to be in place. As far as it being a pattern, you know, I don't know what a pattern is, because I haven't seen statistics across the board, whether, you know, it's racial-based, whether it is gender-based. You know, we need all the facts and figures out there.
Mm-hmm. Senator Ernst, last week, the justices of the U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments on the legality of same-sex marriage, which is now legal in Iowa, has been for several years, and also now the majority of U.S. states. Their decision is expected later in the summer. What are your hopes for the decision?
Well, I would like to see this decided by the states. I think that's a state's right to decide according to what their voters wish, the constituents, the people of those individual states. Wish to do. So, unfortunately, it has come to the Supreme Court. We will see a decision coming out very soon. But again, I still believe it needs to be at the state level.
Mm-hmm. Pollsters are saying there's a shift in national attitudes on the acceptance of same-sex marriage that is unprecedented in favor of tolerance for this, and acceptance of same-sex marriage, or marriage equality, as it is called by its advocates. Are you finding your attitude toward same-sex marriage alongside traditional male-female marriage evolving?
No, I would say that I do believe that marriage is between one man and one woman. That to me is marriage. That's a traditional marriage. I think there are wonderful people on both sides of this debate, and we just need to have a good discourse, a good discussion about what would be included as far as you know, whether it's individual rights, whether it's states' rights, and whether it's the federal government decision-making authority. But I think great people on both sides. We all have differing views whether it's based on an individual's religion or otherwise. But again, it just has to be a civil discourse as we go through this. I think people on both sides truly believe in what they're standing up for.
Let me encapsulate what a number of listeners have contacted us about with this question on climate change. The vast majority of climate scientists, 97% of the most elite climate scientists in the world, agree that humans are causing global warming and climate change. You have said in the past you're not sure what the impact of man is upon climate change. What would it take you, Senator Ernst, to convince you that humans are causing global warming and climate change?
Well, again, I think we can go back and forth because I know there are a number of scientists that will also say that, no, the impact of humankind on the global climate change is negligible, especially for countries such as the United States.
But aren't they in just such a tiny minority, and they are not the people who really have to do with climate?
And my question goes back, and I do believe there is climate change. But what if that is the natural course of the Earth? I would go back and say many, many thousands of years ago, before we had humans in an industrialized setting, there was extreme climate changes one direction or another. And it's very cyclic. So with that question being posed, then was that not just a natural occurrence with climate change?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can we be great protectors of the environment? Certainly we can do that. But I don't want to see it in a manner where the federal government is mandating every aspect of our individual lives. I think that we can take initiatives, especially on our own, that would protect the environment. I drive a hybrid car. I have driven a Prius. I drive a Fusion now. I do that partly because I think it's better for the environment, but I also do it because, you know, hey, it saves me gas and I'm fiscally thrifty. So, you know, there's a number of steps that we can take, whether it's recycling, whether it is, you know, stepping forward and just trying to do the right measures. But again, I don't want to see such federal government overreach where it's stifling innovation, creativity, and truly the work that we have here in the United States. I would say even some measures are good if we're looking at, just for example, coal-fired plants. You know, if they want to eliminate some of the contaminants that are coming out, I think that's great. However, we have a lot of people that rely on that cheap, reliable, efficient source of energy coming from the coal-fired plants. It doesn't make sense to simply eliminate it and drive up the cost for those that least can afford it. So if we're moving forward in measures that will protect the environment, we need to do it in a smart manner, that we're not harming individuals for the sake of something that is not 100% proven.
Okay, let's get to a couple of listener questions. Far too many questions to get to in the short time that we have, but let's pick out a couple of them, if I could, Senator Ernst. Jane on our Facebook page asks, why did you vote against the confirmation of Attorney General Loretta Lynch?
I voted against it because in her confirmation hearing, she stated that she would uphold the president's executive amnesty. She thought that was entirely appropriate. And I did not believe the executive amnesty that was issued by the president following the November 2014 elections was an appropriate action for the president to take. I do believe that immigration is something we need to have a great discussion on in the United States Senate and in the House. I think this is a decision that needs to be coming from the states and from the people. And the president, I thought, overstepped his authority in doing that. He agreed with him overstepping, and I don't want an attorney general who is going to bow to political pressures coming from the administration. What I want to see is a chief law enforcement official that will act independently and enforce the laws of the United States of America. I didn't see that coming from Ms. Lynch.
Okay, we have a caller on the line, Bill in Sac City. Not much time left. Bill, I'll have to ask you to make it brief, please. Welcome to the program.
Okay, thank you, Ben. Senator Ernst, you and Senator Grassley signed an open letter to the leaders of Iran in March warning them to back off from a potential deal with the Obama administration over nuclear arms. How do you justify you and the 46 other Republican senators conducting foreign policy, which is the purview of the executive branch? And secondly, are you going to condone this type of behavior if the Democratic senators do the same type of thing when a Republican president is in office?
Bill, thank you. Yes. In Sac City.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. The letter to Iran was simply stating that any agreement that is made between the president and the supreme leader, the Ayatollah Khomeini in Iran, is just that. It is simply an agreement between those administrations. And moving forward, that agreement would not have to be honored by any future president, any future Congress, and of course, any future leader in Iran as well. So it is appropriate, I believe, that we do have congressional oversight because we are talking about nuclear capabilities. And I do not believe that Iran should have nuclear capabilities. I think you would hear that from many of the countries in the Middle East as well. So as far as condoning it for future senators or even congressmen, of course, they have the right to write letters if they would like to write letters. And again, it was just simply stating the fact of the matter that this is an agreement for a short duration of time. It does not have to be honored by any future administration.
This week, Senator Ernst, we had several more GOP candidates officially get into the race for the Republican nomination, presidential nomination. Do you plan to endorse any GOP candidates for the caucuses?
No, I do not plan on endorsing anyone. I think we have got a great and growing field of GOP candidates. That's the wonderful thing about the GOP is that we have an interesting number of possibilities. I'm excited about it. I want to welcome them all to Iowa. Iowa is a phenomenal state with fantastic people, and we want to show the best of Iowa to everyone that we can. So I'm going to encourage all of these colleagues, all of these contenders into Iowa, both Republican and Democratic. We want them all to come meet our wonderful Iowa voters.
Mm-hmm. Do you see, when you look at the two sides here, the Democrats going for the nomination, do you see the GOP in a better or worse off position with a dozen or more presidential hopefuls compared to the Democrats who seem to have an overwhelming favorite in Hillary Clinton?
Well, I have to say that having a large field, it can be very cumbersome, but at the same time, it is very interesting, and we will find out a lot about our candidates as we move through the process. That's a wonderful thing. I came through a very robust primary season as well. It's really great. We're able to really talk about the issues that are important to Iowans, especially on the GOP side. When you only see maybe one candidate, there's not a lot of choice for the folks within that party. So I do think it's beneficial to have a number of candidates. Do I want to see a couple dozen? Maybe not. But at least we have choice. We have a choice, and we can be vocal about our choices.
The Center for Responsive Politics put the U.S. Senate contest between you and Bruce Braley as the third most expensive in the country, over $85 million, not just by your campaigns, but outside money as well. Do you think there's too much money in politics? As polls indicate, most Americans think that there's just too much money in politics and something should be done about it.
I think there is a lot of money involved in politics. I will not disagree with that at all. But when we start looking at reforms, it would need to be across the board so that you're not inhibiting one group or another from speaking out about who they think is a better candidate or speaking out on various issues that maybe the candidates will feel strongly about, either for or against. So it's going to take some very thoughtful consideration as we move forward. But I do agree that there is a lot of money that is spent in these campaigns. And we just need to be very thoughtful as we move forward so that we're not inhibiting, again, people's right to free speech. Because I am a huge proponent of that. Like it or not, we have free speech, and we want to make sure that we're upholding it.
Just a couple minutes left. We have we'll squeeze in a question or two here. This is from Kathy, one of our listeners, Senator Ernst. Do you support creating paid maternity and paternity leave in the U.S., as the U.S. is currently the only first world country without a mandatory policy with paid leave?
Well, we already have the Family Medical Leave Act, which is in place at the federal level. And I do believe that states or local authorities can go ahead and make further decisions. If they would like to improve upon the bill, they certainly can do that, or upon that, on that law. They can do that. Again, I do prefer it in deferring to the local authorities, state authorities, in making those types of decisions. I do want to see fathers and mothers supported, but we have measures in place at the federal level. And again, any employer, any local authority or state that wants to improve upon that according to their own economy, I think is something that they could do.
A number of our listeners interested in your thoughts on working across the aisle. Chris, for instance, asks, is there any reason for people with progressive ideas to talk to you?
Of course, absolutely. Just as I worked with members across the aisle in the Iowa State Senate, had a great relationship with a number of our Democratic Iowa State Senators, developing those same relationships here in the United States Senate. A couple of examples, currently working on a college sexual assault bill with Kirsten Gillibrand, a Democrat out of New York State. She's been a wonderful partner for me. Just introduced a bill today aimed more at foreign policy. Then I'm working with Barbara Boxer. She is an original co-sponsor with me. And a lot of people would look at Barbara Boxer and I and think there is no way these two women with very different views would ever work on a piece of legislation together. But I did reach out to Senator Boxer because I knew what her passions were. She was happy to assist me with this bill, and it's been wonderful. High Camp is another one from North Dakota that has just been phenomenal to work with. So, yes, there are a lot of people that I love working with. And there may be just a few issues that we differ on, but then there are some things that absolutely we're going to work on together.
Okay, thank you very much. A very quick question to end here. A lot of talk about bread bags in your campaign. And we had the discussion here on our airwaves. Many, it turns out, here growing up in Iowa, myself included, wore bread bags. I wore them I wore them in my boots. People were a little bit puzzled that you wore them outside your boots.
No. The point was I didn't have the boots. So I just had we would either have a nice pair of tennis shoes or a nice pair of shoes that we would wear to school. So to protect those nice shoes, we wore bread bags over those shoes to protect them from the mud and the rain.
Okay.
We
have to go. Senator Ernst, thank you very much for your time today, making time for us. We hope to talk to you again on this program.
Thank you so much for your time. Have a great day.
You too. Coming up in the second half hour, a recent conversation I had with former U.S. Congressman Neil Smith, the longest-serving Iowan in the U.S. House of Representatives. He's now in his 90s. That's coming up next.